Today's daf is Me'ila daf Vav. I'm just going to review a little bit to where we're up to make a little seder out of what we've done. So we started with the statement of Rav Gidol in the name of Rav on Gimel Amubet, who said, Zrika pigul eno mutzi midei me'ila b'kodshe kodshim ve'eno mivi lidei me'ila b'kodshim kalim. Okay, if you get the statement, you know a lot at this point. What does it mean? It means, again, I'm going to keep repeating this so it becomes very clear. Kodshe kodshim, what happens? They have a din of me'ila from the beginning because they're high sanctity.
From the designation.
From the designation. And then the din of me'ila is already there. What happens? When you sprinkle the blood, it matirs it for the kohanim. And that was our whole debate yesterday. Is it though? Well, it's true that when you do the zrika, okay, which we're going to call, remember, heter achila, what does the zrika do? It matirs it for eating. So normally we would say when there's shat heter achila, right, after you do the zrika, then what happens? Then there's no more din of me'ila, because that's what Rabbi Yeshua said. Once there's heter lekohanim, at that point it leaves the whole realm of me'ila. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. When it comes to kodshim kalim, what do we say? Kodshim kalim are low sanctity. There's no halacha of me'ila until after you do the zrikat dam, you have to then burn the imurim on the mizbeach. In comes me'ila. Okay? Again, I always say this as an aside. When it comes to kodshim kalim, obviously the imurim keep their status of me'ila after zrikat dam. It's only the meat that no longer has the status of zrikat dam. Anything that's going to go on the mizbeach is going to have the status of zrikat dam. And just to distinguish it from the korban ola, which is always going to have, always kodshei Hashem, it's always going to have me'ila, even after zrikat dam, because everything gets burned on the mizbeach. So Rav Gidol said, zrika pigul doesn't remove me'ila, and a zrika pigul is ineffective for all of these things. Okay, that was what he said. Now we moved on yesterday. We started the daf with a question that Kapara told Barpada to ask in the Beit Midrash, which is when we talked about Shad HaTer L'Kohanim, until now we assumed it was Zrika, but maybe it could be an earlier stage of either Shechita or Kabbalah, right? Which Kabbalah we're going to call Heter Zrika. Why? Today we'll see this even more so, because what does Kabbalah do? It enables you, without Kabbalah, you can't do the Zrika. So, right, just like Zrika enables you to eat it, and that's why it's called Heter Achila, so Kabbalah enables you to do Zrika. So the theory is like this. Either Shechita is the beginning stages, which allows Kabbalah, which then allows Zrika, and maybe that's already considered, this already is the enabler to the Kohanim, to be able to eat the meat. Or, right, why Kohanim? Because we're talking about Chatat and Asham, right? Kodshim can only be eaten by Kohanim. In the event that they can't be eaten at all, as opposed to the Ola, which can't be, but the Chatan Yasham can be eaten by Kohanim. Or is it Shat Kabbalah, right? Which is, that's the moment the Zrika is mounted. And what do we say? Ha'omeh Lizarek, right? Some people hold this. Kizahuk Dami, right? It's as if it was already sprinkled, which means maybe Shat HaTer Kohanim is already a Kabbalah. So we saw there was a three-way question. We saw an answer that there's two, we saw two Emoraim, Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan, who said either Heter Achila or Shechita. Okay, so numbers one and number three were options, not the middle one. However, what the Gemara did yesterday, I'm just going to kind of organize it. The first thing was we asked a question that our Mishnah doesn't sound like Shat, it doesn't sound like either Chizkia or Rabbi Yochanan, because they assumed that Lan was that the Dam was left over, and it was after Kabbalah before Zrika. And then they said, no, our mission is actually Heter Achila Shanu. Right? When the mission described what's the case of Heter Achila L'Kohanim, it was talking about Heter Achila Mamash, meaning after Zrika. Okay, that was the first question. Then they tried to prove from a source about Shat Achila, from the Kiblu Apsulim, or Zarku Apsulim, and they understood it as either or. Then we answered it by saying, no, it's really just Kiblu Apsulim, and in fact, you can prove the middle opinion, which none of the Emoraim that we quoted held by, but yet they're trying to say, possibly you could prove the middle opinion from there. And then we'd say, that what's the Zrika part of there? Why does it say Vizarku Etama? Because it's trying to teach you this other halacha about Shirayim, and a whole side halacha that has nothing to do with our issue. That was the second thing we did. The third was, we tried to prove from this last source, Okay, five lines from the bottom of Ha'am Abet. Hapigu la'olam mo'alim bo. Okay, which they assumed meant lav de'lo zahak. Hapigu la'olam mo'alim bo. The way they understood la'olam there is at any stage mo'alim bo. Okay, meaning, theoretically, it could be where you didn't even sprinkle the blood, and already, and still mo'alim bo, meaning it's not going to be effective because it's shat heter la'kohanim. So then they said, right, and then it would be, again, so now we're zigzagging. The first attempt was to prove heter achila. This is an attempt to prove heter zrika. Okay? And then they said, no, that's not what it means. It's talking about after you already were zorek the dam. Okay? So again, each source we're going to bring, we're going to keep saying, we're going to bring it to prove one. Okay? So we had, so far, an attempt to prove shat heter achila, then an attempt to prove heter zrika. Now we're going to go back and we're going to have three attempts to prove heter achila. Okay, that's going to be the rest of our sugya until we finish this amud, and then we'll start a new Mishnah, which is a little connected, but something different. Tashma. So now we're going to bring another source. So again, we keep bringing sources, and we're going to try to show in all these sources it sounds like what we actually originally thought, which is it's actually when you sprinkle the blood. That is when it really matures it, but each time we're going to reject the proof. Okay, so we're going to really be left with a lot of sources that could go either way. Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh notar she'mo'alim bo, v'yesh notar she'ein mo'alim bo. Okay, there's a case where you could have notar where there would be a din of me'ila, and there's a case where you could have notar where there wouldn't be a din of me'ila. What's notar? When the meat, generally it's the meat or the blood, is left over beyond its time. Ketzad. So what are the two options where you could have notar with me'ila or notar without me'ila? Lan lifnei zrika, if you left it over before you sprinkled the blood, mo'alim, then you're going to have a din of me'ila. Why? Because there's no shat heter l'kohanim, right? Because you left over the blood, you didn't sprinkle it. Lachar zrika ein mo'alim. But after zrika, after you sprinkle the blood, there will no longer be a din of me'ila. So what do you see here, right? In a meaning, if you sprinkled the blood, you did everything the way you were supposed to, and then what happened? Then you left it over. So at that point, you did the zrika, and therefore, me'ila already left, right? There's no me'ila at that point. This is a kosher zrika, right? This is all fine. It gets messed up after. Well, that sounds, right? Katani miyat mo'alimbo. Lav dehave shehut lemizrake. Now, in the first case, it says, there's no tar shemo'alimbo. Now, the assumption is that what happened here, that you did Kabbalah during the day, there was enough time to do Zrika, which means it was Omed Lizarek Kizaruk Dame. And what do you see here? Right? It says Mo'alimbo. It didn't remove the Me'ila. So what do you see? Kabbalah that can lead to Zrika, right, is not considered Shav Heter L'Kohanim, which means it would have to be the later stage of Zrika. So the Ibai Zarek, right, in a isn't it the case where there was enough time that if he wanted to, he could have been zoek the blood? Ushma mina heter achila shanu, and therefore this source would be pretty clear that it's talking about heter achila, meaning when you sprinkle the blood, that's what's kovea here. So now the Gemara says, lo, no, you don't have to explain it that way. You could say that when it was talking about there's no tarsha mo'alimbo, where they did Kabbalah, but they didn't yet do zrika, it was dikimle samuch lishkia tachama. It was a case where you accepted the blood at what point? Well, it was right before the end of the day, which means there's no way you would have had a possibility to do zrika. Now, if you can't do zrika, what's going to happen? Well, our whole theory was that we would call Kabbalah heter zrika. Right. Why do they even call it heter zrika and not Kabbalah? Now you see why. Because it's only Kabbalah that matirs zrika, let's use the word matirs, enables. It enables the blood to be sprinkled. Now, if you do Kabbalah Hadam, mamash at the very end of the day, just before Shkia, okay? Right, imagine you're lighting candles late, right? The second before Shkia comes in or something. So you don't have time anymore, right? In other words, there, it's not like the same similar example, but I'm just thinking of, yeah, where you would do something just before Shkia. But you now don't have enough time to get to the Mizbeach and sprinkle the blood. In that case, Kabbalah doesn't create a situation where we're now going to say, oh, now you've gotten rid of the Din of Me'ila because there's been Shat HaTer L'Kohanim, and if it gets puzzled after that, well, it still has a din of, it doesn't have a din of Me'ila because it was already Mutar the Kohanim. In that case, it was never even, that's, again, Kabbalah is only because it enables Zrika. And it's as if you did Zrika. But if you didn't have enough time to do Zrika, you can't say it's as if you did Zrika. So they're basically saying, in order to show that the source could go either way, one could explain that the Notar, Shemo'alimbo, was a case where the Kabbalah was done without enough time to get Zrika in. Okay? Sounds like a possible theory. It's a little rachok. But, okay. And then, Ushma Mina, and then, what would you learn from this? I went back to the wrong place. So, Kivle Samachushka Nachma, Delosha Havashayut Lemizrat. Okay, period. Which means that, what would be the moment that would be critical here? It really could be Shat Heter Zrika, the moment of Kabbalah. It just, in this case, it's not the situation because there isn't Heter Zrika. So now they say, wait a minute. Aval, according to this, so you want to say, if you were Makabal Adam Samuch L'Shkiat HaChama, and there's not enough time, L'Mizrak, right? So then, what's going to happen? So then, didn't have Shat Heter L'Kohanim, and it's going to retain its status of Me'ila. So what does that imply? The inverse is, Aval Hayash Shehut, my Hachinami De'emo Alim, if there was Shehut Bayom to do the sprinkling of the blood, then what would you say? That Ein Mo'alim, right? Because it would be Heter Zrika. Heter Zrika means, it's if you did the blood, which means that we're going to call it Shat Heter L'Kohanim, which means, right? And that clearly comes out from what they just said. Whether you agree with it or not is a separate thing. But they're saying that's what you want to say. If that's the case, well, then what Rabbi Shimon said doesn't really make so much sense because he should have, it's not that it doesn't make sense, but my iria detane lifne zrika, what did he distinguish between? Ketzad lan lifne zrika mo'alim, la'achar zrika eim ho'alim. This is a very nice theory, but look at his words. His words say before zrika, after zrika. If you really wanted to say that the case was he did Kabbalat Adam, and either Kabbalat Adam was done with enough time, or it was done with not enough time in the day. So then what would you write? Litni kodem shkia ulachar shkia. You should have said, right, before it was done before shkia, or laachar shkia doesn't really mean after shkia. It means samuch l'shkia, right? Just right at shkia. That should have been what it distinguished between. It should have said like this. Let's just go back to the Brayta. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yesh notar shemo alimbo, v'yesh notar shemo alimbo, ketzad. Lan lifnei shkia mo'alim, it should be the opposite. Lan lifnei, samuch l'shkia mo'alim, because then there wasn't enough time to enable the zrika, in which case you're going to retain its status of me'ila. But lifnei shkia ain mo'alim. But if it's done with enough time, then the Kabbalah is enough to basically say it's as if the dam was sprinkled and then it had shat heter l'kohanim. And if it was lan after that, then ain mo'alim. So now, right, so therefore they say it doesn't make sense with the wording in the Braita, and therefore it must not be right. Right. So what do they say? Hachinami katani, no. That's really what it means. When it says la'achar zrika or lifnei zrika, what does it mean? Kodem sheyera el zrika. Ula'achar sheyera el zrika. What it means is, right, if it has enough time to be ra'oi lizrika, right, or kodem sheyera el zrika, meaning it's not going to have enough time to be ra'oi for zrika. Okay, so there's a difference, right? That's what it means. What it really means, instead of la'achar zrika or lifnei zrika, it means does it have a possibility for zrika to happen or does it not have a possibility for zrika to happen? And they basically say that's what it means, and therefore, again, one could read from here, heter achila, if you assume it means really lifnei zrika, la'achar zrika, or maybe it means when there was enough time for Zrika to happen, or there wasn't enough time for Zrika to happen, and then that would prove Heter Zrika is the moment. So this source is inconclusive.
Didn't they have, I forget what the word is, conditions in the Beit HaMikdash that they wouldn't even get to situations like this? Like, this is an impossible situation in reality.
That they wouldn't allow the Kabbalah to happen, you're saying?
Yeah, they wouldn't start the process.
Again, there's a matter of people who are careful about these things and people who aren't careful, and maybe, you know. And then they're talking about situations that could happen.
I don't see how it could have happened. But they would sort of speed up before when they didn't have enough time for everything.
Right. So say, well, theoretically, one could say that.
I mean, it's an interesting discussion.
Which is why you're saying that to explain the Gemara, the Braita this way is even more
far-fetched,
because the likelihood of that situation happening and then the likelihood of them discussing such an unlikely situation is even more unlikely. Agreed. Okay. Tashma, next source.
The human factor probably was likely.
Yeah, I mean, look, especially in the end of Bayit Sheni, when people weren't, they had all these Kohanim Gedolim that were corrupt and things that were going on there were not so great. I mean, even in the time of, you know, we talked the other day about Eli and his sons, and that they were also bad. In other words, it's not like it was always perfect in the Beit HaMikdash. In an ideal world, yes, but in a practical world, it wasn't really always so perfect. Okay, next source. So again, I said that the following three sources, so we did one already, are going to try to prove Heter Achila, and then we're going to say, oh no, it could be Heter Zrika. And this source is going to be very, very parallel to what we just saw, what they're going to do with it. So again, it's Rabbi Shimon. Now, in this case, in the first case, he was talking about notar. Now he's going to talk about pigul. Okay, so yesh pigul she'moalim bo, ve'yesh pigul she'em moalim bo. Ketzad. Lifnei zrika moalim, la'achar zrika ein moalim. So what do you see here again? Katani mia, lifnei zrika moalim bo, la'av da'avi shi'ut le'mizrake, di'ibai zarik, ve'katani moalim bo, u'shma mina, heter achila shaninu. What does this mean, right? There's a case of pigul where you could have pigul where there would be a din of me'ila, where me'ila would stay, and you could have a case of pigul where it would be, there wouldn't be me'ila. So what would that be? It depends on whether it happened before Zrika or after Zrika. So, again, what do you see here? It sounds like the moment of Zrika, right? If it happened before Zrika, the assumption is we mean that you did the Kabbalah with enough time to have potentially done Zrika, and yet we're going to say in that case, it's not considered heter achila, it's going to still have a din of me'ila, and therefore, it can't be that heter zrika is the moment that's koveh, it must be heter achila, the moment of zrika, and not the moment of Kabbalah. So now they say, lo, de lo have shehut lebizrake. No, it's talking about after Kabbalah, and when there wasn't enough time, it was after Kabbalah, in a case where you couldn't do zrika. Aval have shehut lebizrake. Okay, so now, what comes out then? If Havishehut lemizrake, if there was enough time to do Zrika after Kabbalah, amai. Hachinami dinapit midei me'ila. So according to that, what are you going to say? If you did the Kabbalah and there was enough time to lemizrake, then what would happen? It would be yotzei midei me'ila because there was shat heter lekohanim. And at that point, there's no longer a din of me'ila. If that's the case, again, they're going to ask, my iria detane la'achar zrika. Why does it say la'achar and lifnei zrika? Litni kodem shkia ula'achar shkia tachama. It should have said before shkia and after shkia. Again, after shkia meaning right up again, right next to shkia. So what do they answer? Just like they answered before. Hachinami kamar. That's really what it meant. Kodem sheyere el zrika, achar sheyere el zrika. What it means, before zrika, after zrika, it means if there was enough time and it was ro'oi for zrika, or if it wasn't ro'oi for zrika, in which case this doesn't necessarily prove that heter achila shanu, you could read the source as heter zrika shaninu. Okay, third source, tashma, hapigul b'kodshe kodashim mo'alim. Okay, by the way, we brought this source before. The source was brought on Daf Dalit. Okay, as was, by the way, I forgot to mention it. But last source we saw yesterday, Hapigul Lola Mo'alimbo, was also brought on Daf Dalit. And both the cases were brought there, also questioning, is it Zrika? Is it before Zrika? Is it after Zrika? Again, we're going to bring in this source. Hapigul, if something is Pigul, and it's Kodshe Kodshim, Mo'alim. Now, what are they going to say? Now, notice the word that's missing here. Last time it said La'olam. Okay, this one doesn't have the word la'olam, and therefore they're going to assume, as last time, what did we explain? Hapigul la'olam means even after Zrika. That's how we explain that source. But now they're going to say maybe la'olam means, right, my lav dezahak. Oh, so here they're going to assume it also means my lav dezahak. First they're going to assume pigul b'kotche kotche mo'alim, which means, right, when, if you sprinkle the blood, right, where you did the Zrika, it's still going to have a din of me'ila. Ushma mina heter achila shaninu, and then it's going to prove heter achila. Right, because what's the moment? The moment that's important is zrika. So now they say lo dilo zarak. So they're going to say no. It means pigul b'kodshe kodshim mo'alim. If you didn't sprinkle the blood, but if you sprinkle the blood, then already it would leave din me'ila. Okay, now. What does this mean? Okay, first of all, this goes against Rav Gidol Amarav. Remember what he said? He said, sprinkling the blood in Pigul has no effect on anything. Remember he said? Okay, if you remember, the sprinkling of the blood of Pigul is an interesting thing because it has effects on things. It's called Ritzoy, even though it's not, usually Ritzoy means you get atonement. In this case, you don't get atonement. But what happens? It creates the Chalut of Pigul that now the korban's going to be considered pigul, and if you eat, as it's considered pigul before, this was the whole thing we had a few days ago, but if you eat the meat, you won't get curried unless the blood was sprinkled. Okay, so now, they're going to say, right, if you say it was b'shazarak, then it's showing the heter achila is the main source. But, and this, by the way, was brought to support Rav Gidol last time. And we said, isn't it b'shezarak, and that supports Rav Gidol, that what? Even if you're zoreg, it still retains its me'ila status. And then, like we said there, we can explain, no, it's b'shelozarak. Okay? You weren't zoreg. And then, right, if you didn't yet sprinkle the blood, once you sprinkle the blood, the sprinkling of the blood of me'ila, since it's considered ritzoy, it is effective to remove me'ila. Okay, now this is a strange thing. Right? But it's understandable because there's some sort of heter. Even though the kohanim can't eat it, it's not actually a heter achila, but it does change something in the meat because the meat now becomes a chi of karet of pigul, and therefore it's like a type of enough of a heter achila la kohanim to change the status of it to call it not me'ila. And again, this reading would go against what Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav. So now, so that's their understanding right now, to reject our understanding here that it's all about the moment of Zrika. So now they say, lo de lo zarak, aval zarak. So then what are they going to say? My, hachinami de emo alim. So what are you going to say? Like I said a minute ago, that according to this, how does it come out? That what would happen? If the source means, now the reason why they think you could read it this way is because it doesn't say hapigul le'olam mo'alim. It just says hapigul b'koche koche mo'alim. Since it doesn't say forever, it sounds like maybe not forever. Now, one might only say that if they knew the other source existed, right? And because we have the source that said la'olam, for always, even after Zrika, this one they assume means even before, you know, it's only before Zrika, and then what would happen? So now again, they're going to question. So according to what you're saying, there wouldn't be a din of me'ila? If that's the case, now what's the second part of this braita? Okay, it says, ma'iria detane bekodshim kalim ein mo'alim bo. Okay, now, the Braita, they're distinguished. So let's read the Braita in its entirety. It's always confusing when they bring you the later part. Okay, so the Braita reads like this. Pigul b'kodshim kodshim mo'alim, b'kodshim kalim ein mo'alim bo. Now, if you read that, the simple pshat, it sounds exactly like Rav Gidol Amarav. What did he say? And that's why I started with it today. What did he say? He said, sprinkling the blood of Pigul doesn't change anything. When it's kochim kalim and it didn't have me'ila to begin with, it's not going to have me'ila. And when it's koche kochim, right, when theoretically, usually the sprinkle of the blood changes its status, in kochim kalim, from no din of me'ila, it's not forbidden to benefit, to it's forbidden to benefit from the imulim. And when it comes to koche kochim, it does the reverse. It takes something that was forbidden and turns it into, oh, now there's no chiyuv of me'ila anymore. If you benefit from it, it's no longer koche Hashem. So, if you look at this in its entirety, it says pigul b'kochim kochim mo'alim, kochim kalim ein mo'alim. Now, if you wanted to distinguish between were you zorek the dam or not zorek the dam, because according to our reading right now, the zrika actually does change the status, and it's only before zrika that it doesn't change its status. If you want to say that, then instead of distinguishing kochim kochim and kochim kalim, what should it have done? Litni kan lifnei zrika, kan la'achar zrika. It should have distinguished. The whole theory is here. Once the bright is making a distinction, there's a case with me'ila, there's a case without me'ila, well then, if zrika pigul affects, changes the status of me'ila, then it should have said before zrika, after zrika, and it shouldn't have compared kochim kochim and kochim kalim. So, what do they say? Ha'ata la'ashmu'inan, kol da'atuye lidei mi'ila, zrika ketikna, maite lidei mi'ila. Kol da'afuke midei mi'ila, afilu shelo ketikna, nami mafka idei mi'ila. So, they're telling you now, the reason why I distinguished kochim kochim and kochim kalim and not lifnei zrika and la'achar zrika was to teach you against what Rav Gidol said, okay, that, again, the bright existed before Rav Gidol, but basically saying a different shita from him, that there's a difference. Okay, we assumed Zrika of Pigul is going to change the status either which way. But if you notice, there's really a difference between the changing of status in either way. One is removing Mi'ila, and one is bringing Mi'ila. So now they're going to say, it's coming to teach you that kol atuye lidei Mi'ila, in order to bring something into chiyuv Mi'ila, zrika ketikna maite lidei Mi'ila. If you really did a zrika, that would bring on Mi'ila. But kol afuke midei Mi'ila, afilu, okay, so let's put this. In order to bring the status of Mi'ila to something, to say something is Kodshei Hashem, the only way to turn something into Kodshei Hashem is what? A good Zrika. Zrika Pigul, we know, is not a good Zrika. It's a, right, I would call it like an in-between, right? There's Zrika of a Kasher, there's Zrika of a regular Pasul Korban, which is kind of, you've done nothing, but there's Zrika in the middle, you have Zrika of Pigul. Now, why is Zrika of Pigul in the middle? Because there is, it's called Ritzui. Remember? Because it does have effects of something. It causes a chalut of Pigul to be on the meat that you're now going to get curry. It's kind of the opposite of a Zrika Kasher. It doesn't affect the Toman, it causes curry. But it's effective in some way. So now they're going to say this in-between stage maybe could go both ways, depending on the situation. To bring Pigul, it's not going to work. Now, why? But okay, let me say them both, and then I'll give a good reason as to why. But to bring Me'ila, it won't work on Kodshim Kalim. But it will work to do what? To remove Me'ila from Kodshim Kodshim. Now, why is that? Because if you think about it, what is the bringing Me'ila to Kodshim Kalim? Well, what happens? Kodshim Kalim are basically, you know, they're Kalim. Okay, they're not considered Kodshei Hashem because eventually they're going to belong to the owner who's going to get to eat them, or she's going to get to eat them. But what happens when you sprinkle the blood, all of a sudden you have a chiyuv to burn the imurim on the mizbeach. You're now obligated to take those imurim, burn them on the mizbeach. They now belong to God. Now in a pigul korban, there's no imurim. You don't burn anything on the mizbeach. So there's no reason to bring Me'ila to anything when it's Kodshim Kalim, because the whole reason to bring Me'ila into Kodshim Kalim is because now you have a chiyuv to bring Imurim, and you don't have that chiyuv because your korban is ruined. Okay? But when it comes to to remove Me'ila, okay, to take the Me'ila status off, what do you need? You need a Shat Heter L'Kohanim. Now the question is, and this is what we've been debating all along, what level needs Shat Heter L'Kohanim? Now, the debate before was, is it just starting to slaughter it? That already, you know, once you do the slaughter, that already sort of starts to enable it to the Kohanim. Or Heter Zrikah at the middle stage. Somehow it keeps popping into my mind, this debate I had with a friend years ago. I wanted to go into teaching high school, and she wanted to teach elementary school, and we had this whole debate about, you know, is it, you want to get the kids when they get into school, you know, when they're really young, and if you get them, well, then you'll put them on the right path. And, you know, I said, high school is like where everybody starts turning and going in different directions, and it's the most interesting, you know, and you can, like, that's a really important part where you're affecting someone's life. So it's sort of all these stages, and the answer is really that all these stages are affected. You can't eat it unless you've also done shchita, and you can't, you know, unless you've done Kabbalah. All these stages are important. The question is, what's the critical moment? What makes it the Shat Heter? So here, now this is going in a different direction, but Zrika Sheloki Tikna, like a Zrika of Pigul, which again, we're not talking about a Zrika of a Pasul, which is an irrelevant act, but the Zrika of Pigul has some sort of effect. So because it has some sort of effect, maybe that's enough to remove the Me'ila from it, even though it's not actually Heter Achila L'Kohanim. They can't eat it, and no one can eat it. In fact, if anybody eats it, they get karet, but it's some sort of, something is removed or changed by it. So since it has the ability to change, you could say that, and then the way they read this source is that it's distinguishing between Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Okay? Kodshim Kalim, it would be either before Zrika or after Zrika. And then the Resha of Pigul Kodshei Kodshim Mo'alim would only be before Zrika, but after Zrika, Ein Mo'alim, and this would disagree with what Rav Gidel Amarav. It would agree with them in the Kodshim Kalim, that it doesn't change the status of Kodshim Kalim, but he would disagree and think that it does change the status of Kodshei Kodshim. Okay? That's the way we read this. Now, in the end, right, we don't really have any clarity about this issue because it doesn't really say, right? Now, it's true, we're even going to see this next one, that it does seem to put a lot of emphasis on Zrikat Damim. And the way we understood it originally does sound more like the Pshat, that it's Heter Achila, and it's the moment of Zrika. However, there are these other opinions that say Shlita and Kabbalah, and you know maybe there's room for them also. Like you'd have to then, again, change each source a little bit to kind of match that. Okay, new Mishnah. Basar Kodshei Kodashim Sheyatza Lifnei Zrikat Damim. Now we're going to talk about a psul of Yotze. Psul of Yotze is you have the meat in the Beit HaMikdash, you've slaughtered it, and then someone takes the meat out of the Beit HaMikdash, and then, it doesn't say this in the Mishnah, Rashi tells you, v'acharkach nichnas v'shuv nizrak adam. Okay, Rashi says, well then, it goes back in, and then the dam is sprinkled. Okay, it could be even the meat stays out, and just the blood is sprinkled. Now what's interesting, in a korban like this, what happens to the meat? If the meat goes out, so it's pasul. However, your zrika is effective and you get atonement because you slaughtered it, you collected the blood, you sprinkled the blood. Yes, it's true the meat went out in the middle, but it doesn't matter in terms of your atonement. It just disqualifies the meat. So now again, what do we have? We have a zrika that's kshera, but there was some sort of psul in the middle. Okay, so now what's the status of the meat? Because the blood was sprinkled properly, but the meat was disqualified. So because the meat was disqualified, do we call that, well, it had a shat heter lekohanim because the blood was sprinkled in a kosher way, even though the kohanim can't eat the meat because the meat's disqualified. But yet, again, it's sort of like the pigul, where we had a zrika of pigul that was, it had some sort of meaning, but not enough meaning to allow the meat. Do we call that heter achila lekohanim or not? So we're going to have a machloket emoraim. Basar kodashim sheyatza lefnei zrikat damim, and then again, it was brought inside, and or the blood at least was sprinkled inside. Rabbi Eliezer omer mo'alim bo ve'ein chayavin alav mishum pigul v'notav v'tameh. He says that meat is out. Okay, meaning you never remove the me'ila from it, and it's disqualified. So therefore, this is a little bit like eini sorchal alisul, which is once it's already disqualified meat, well then, if it's pigul, notar, or tame, if something happens to it after that, well, it doesn't really make a difference. It has no effect. If you leave that meat over beyond the designated time, someone impure comes in contact with it, it becomes pigul, any of those things, it's not pigul. You don't get, those are all things, by the way, you get karet for. You're not going to get karet for them because it was already disqualified, it was yotze. Okay, once it's disqualified, you can't add another disqualification to it. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva omer, emo alimbo, chayavin alav mishum pigul v'notar v'tameh. He says, what are you talking about? This meat, yes, it was disqualified, but the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, and therefore the korban, theoretically, right, it got its atonement, and therefore there's no more din of me'ila. Even though you can't eat the meat, it's as if there was a heter for the meat because the blood was sprinkled. And you're chayav because of pigul, notar, and tameh. If something were to happen to it, it would have that disqualification because this is right because, now, it's a little bit of a question some people ask, isn't that also Isser Chal Alisur because it's already forbidden because it's pasul, and then you're going to eat it in notar, you're going to get karet, isn't that adding? Okay, that's a question we'll leave aside. So now, Rabbi Akiva is going to bring a proof for how he knows that really this blood sprinkling is effective to remove me'ila and to say that it's not enough disqualified, that there's pigul, notar, and tameh. Just so you know, this Tosfot says this is only regarding the psul of yotze. Why? Why is the psul of yotze any different? They view the psul of yotze as a very light disqualification. Why is that? Because it's not something that happened to the body of the animal. It's not like it got a mum, you know, or it got tameh, or was left over beyond its designated time. It just got removed from its location. Okay, in other words, some outside factor. And therefore, that's what Tosfot says. And because of that, it's not machmak ufo, it's because of some other thing. And therefore, it's kind of light, okay? And that's why these other things are going to kick in, according to Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva, here comes his proof, how I know this is true. Ha-mafrish chatato v'avda, v'hibrish acheret tachteha, v'achar kach nimtzet harishona. This is our classic case we've seen many times. You designate a sin offering, you lose it. You take another animal, right? You designate the animal, then you lose it. You take another one in its place. And then you find the other one. Okay, now they're both standing before you. Now, if at that point you slaughter them both in the Beit HaMikdash, and then you sprinkle the blood of one, since you slaughtered them both. So, right, theoretically, you could take one, slaughter it, do the blood, and then the other one is clearly out. And then that's what we call a chatat ha-metot. It's one of those chataot, you have to leave the animal to die. But in the event that you already slaughtered the animal, and both are before you, and you have a choice now, you can take one of the damim, it's what we call, there's a zika between them. They're connected, okay? So now, how are they connected? So, lo kishem shedama poteret psara, kachu poteret psar chaverta. So now, isn't it true in this case, and then they're going to say the lo kishem is going to the limud, we're going to darshan from this, so leave that aside right now. The first thing you have to know is that when you sprinkle the blood of one, and it's poter, it's om basar from mi'ila, right? You sprinkle the blood, okay, it's a perfectly good korban chatat. What happens? The meat of that korban chatat is going to be allowed to the kohanim to eat it. Kahu poteret basar chaverta. Now, what happens to, you have animal one and animal two, okay? Animal one, you slaughter both, okay? Animal one and animal two, both are slaughtered, okay? They're both dead right now. You take the blood of one and you sprinkle it on the mizbech. So the meat of one is, number one, mutar to the kohanim. And number two, there's no me'ila anymore. Right? That's what happens. Once it becomes mutar to the kohanim, me'ila is removed. Now, animal number two, what do we do with the stat? What's the status of the meat? Well, the kohanim can't eat it, that's for sure. However, because these two are interconnected, there's no din of me'ila on the second, on the meat of the second animal. Okay, so if one benefits from it, what does it mean there's no me'ila? You can benefit from it, right? You won't be chayav in me'ila.
You can't eat the meat because
but you can't eat it because the blood wasn't thrown.
And it wasn't allowed. It can't be zochah
right.
To the blood of the first
one. No. So that's what it's talking about here. So kishem shedama poteret psara, kachu poteret psar chaverta. Okay, so just like it's poteret psara from me'ila, not allowing it to be eaten, also, it will be poter basar chavrata. Now, if that's the case, im patar damad basar chavrata min ha-me'ila, so if the sprinkling of the blood of one animal has the power to remove me'ila from another animal, here comes the jump, din hu shi pateret basar atzma. So in our case, the sprinkling of the blood of a yotzei, when it's just a minor psul yotzei, okay, of course that blood, if the blood here can affect and remove me'ila from animal number two, obviously the sprinkling of the blood in a case, again, both these cases, how are they similar? They're obviously different cases. They're both, because this case there was no disqualification, although there's sort of a disqualification because this meat of animal two will never be allowed to be eaten, and that's why it's similar. But what they're saying is, just like there it has the power to remove me'ila from the other animal, it should also have the power when the zrikat dam and a psul yotzei is actually atones for the person who brought the korban, it should lefachot, at least, remove me'ila from its own meat. Okay, that's his theory, and that's why he says it removes the me'ila. That's their first machloket. Second machloket, and the Gemara is going to say, why do you have to bring the same machloket in both cases? Imurei kodshim kalim sheyatzu lefnei zrikat tamim. Let's say you have now the imurim of kodshim kalim that are removed from the Beit HaMikdash before zrikat dam and now can no longer be brought to burn on the mizbeach. Okay, this is going to be the obvious same parallel case. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, emo alim behem, right? If then you sprinkle the blood, still the imurim are not going to have a din of me'ila because the sprinkling of blood was totally irrelevant to the imurim because the imurim can't go on the mizbeach and therefore there's no din of me'ila. And likewise, the Imurim are not going to be subject to all these other laws because they're totally disqualified. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mo'alim Bahem V'chayavim Alehem Mishum Pigol Notar V'tame. He says, no, there is a din of me'ila by these, and you're going to be chayav on all those things because the blood was sprinkled kamosha tzarich, and therefore we're going to view it as if the basar was permitted to a certain extent. In this case, what's going to be? Well, the imurim were permitted to be burned on the mizbeach, even though they weren't, but it's as if they were, and therefore all the laws, the regular laws that kick in for something that's supposed to be burned on the mizbeach, like pigol no tartame, and you're going to also have a din of me'ila. So the Gemara asks, hane tarte lamali, why do we have both these cases brought? Because theoretically, you could say it's the same thing, right? Again, we keep comparing these two. The basar kodshe kodshim, coming into the laws of being removed from the laws of Me'ilah, and the Basar Kachim Kalim coming into the laws of Me'ilah. So what's the reason? Srichi. So why do we need them both? De'it marba kodshe kodshim. If you had said this only by kodshe kodshim, what would you have thought? Hava mina b'ha ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer mo'alim bo. Mishum dizrika ketikna mavka midei Me'ilah, shelo ketikna lo mavka midei Me'ilah. Now, how does this work? In kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim, they go in different directions, right? Kodshe kodshim, it's a kula to say that it no longer has a din of me'ilah. Kodshim kalim, it's a chumrah to say that we're adding me'ilah to the picture here. So, therefore, they're going to say like this. Eliezer said there is a din of me'ilah in kodshe kodshim, right? That's because, what are we saying? Zrikak, and he said there's no me'ilah in kodshim kalim. Why does he need to say both? Because you would have thought that if you only had it in kodshe kodshim, what would you say? Me'ilah stays. Why does me'ilah stay? Because we're going to be machmir and keep the din of me'ilah there. But when it comes to kodshim kalim, it's actually a kula what he's saying, right? Because what's he saying? There's actually no din of me'ilah by the imulim, right? Because the zrikat dam is not effective for it. So there, he would have to say lakula. So therefore, you might have thought that maybe it'd only be machmir and not be mekel. So therefore, we'd say like this. When he said it, mo'alim bo, it retains its status because zrika ketikna, I'm going to read it again, right? Doing the zrika the right way is mavka midei me'ilah, can take away a chiyuv of me'ilah. Okay, because that's a big kula. But shelo ketikna, but if the zrika dam wasn't done properly, now here, even though the zrika dam was done properly, there was a psul of yotzei on this meat, lo mavka midei me'ilah. You might have thought, right? It's not motzi midei me'ilah. Aval, so that is what it would teach you. Aval la'atuye lidei me'ilah, but to bring on me'ilah, maybe modi l'Rabbi Akiva, shafilu shelo ketikna, maiti lidei me'ilah. But he might have gone on the machmir side and say, yeah, but when it comes to kodshim kalim, let's just say they have a din of me'ilah to be machmir, since this zrikat dam was actually effective for atonement purposes. And now we're going to do the reverse with the other opinion if we had only kodshim kalim. V'iit mar gabe kodshim kalim, hava amina gabe kodshim kalim, huda amar Rabbi Akiva mo'alim bahem. What does Rabbi Akiva say by kodshim kalim? There is a din of me'ilah, remember? All of it. One second, he says, chayavim alav, right, sorry, Rabbi Akiva says, Mo'alim bahem, v'chayavim mishum pigo b'no tar v'tame, right? Kodshim kalim, there is a din of me'ilah. So why is he going to say there is a din of me'ilah? There, afilu zrika shelo ketikna maite lidei me'ilah, because we'd rather be machmir. And therefore, even if you didn't have a totally proper zrika, you're still going to say this, and right, these imurim are going to have laws of me'ilah. Aval kodshe kodshim, he says the reverse, right? He says, there's no me'ilah by them. It actually removes the status, right? What he's basically saying is, it changes the status either which way. But you might have thought, if you only had it in one place, he would say, kodshe kodshim de la fuke, hu shelo ketikna, de la fuke hu, because kodshe kodshim is actually trying to remove me'ilah, so shelo ketikna lo mavki midei me'ilah. If you do an improper zrika, that's not going to be enough to be mekel to say there's no longer a din of me'ilah, and therefore, kamash malan, that's why they had to say it in both cases, to say, either of them are consistent with their opinion, and it's not an issue of should we be machmir or mekel. They both view, it's just very simply, is this zrika, since this zrika is effective, even though the meat is disqualified, does it affect change in the meat or not? That's their debate, and they debate it in both cases of kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim. Again, like I said, if you get that difference, right, that's a basic difference about which direction each of them go when the zrika happens, right? So then you understand why they're going to say opposite in each case. Okay, and it's not going to be a matter of kula chumra and should we bring more me'ilah on things, you know, should we be more machmir or more mekel? That's not the issue.